Everybody grab a handout from Kenny. Put your hand out and you'll get a handout. How's that? And then if you would please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And we've been doing a series on our Sunday school on the different cults, studying the cults and hopefully enabling you to be more wise about what these different cults believe, and as such be more effective in being a diligent witness for our Savior, better equipped, amen, having your sword a little sharper to be able to take on the lies and the deceits of the enemy. Now, we looked at Roman Catholicism, and we looked at Mormonism, and so today we're going to begin looking at the other, if you want to say the big three, this would be the third, and that's the cult of the Jehovah Witnesses. And so we'll be looking at that at least for probably 2 weeks, this week and the next. And I'd like you to look there, please, in Isaiah chapter 43, and we will begin reading in verse 10. Isaiah 43 in verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Now notice the Lord there. Many times you'll see this in the Bible where all the letters are capitalized. You see that? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. All right. Whenever you see Lord like that in the Old Testament or the New, that's Jehovah. Okay? The Hebrew there is Jehovah, and that's translated as Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, unless it's just left as Jehovah, okay? And so when we see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah. When Jesus comes back in Revelation 19, and he's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords, did you ever notice how that's all capitalized? That means he's Jehovah of Jehovahs. Now, you know who the Jehovah's Witnesses are? Look there in verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. All right, here's Jehovah's witnesses. And my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. You know what Jesus told those Pharisees? I am he. That's what he told them. Before me, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and beside me there is what? No Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Now, you're dealing with a Jehovah Witness, make sure you let them know that you are a Jehovah Witness. How many of you witness for Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. All right. Then you're Jehovah Witnesses. In the real sense, you see, not according to them. And what we're going to find out as we look through this thing with Jehovah Witnesses, they do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. They believe he's a created being created later on. They don't believe he's eternal. They don't believe he's God. Now, when I deal with Jehovah Witnesses, I'll let them talk for a few minutes and then give them an opportunity to bury themselves. And this is how you do it. Honestly, if you'll do this, you'll see it work. You will see it work. You turn around and you tell them, I'm sorry, I just don't believe in this Jehovah Witness stuff because, you know, I'm a Christian. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That's all you have to do. You know what? You do that, you know what they're going to say? We believe that Jesus is the Savior too. Guarantee it. Then you take them to this verse. Can you remember Isaiah 43? Mark it in your Bible somewhere. Put maybe a little note at the front of your Bible, JW's. thing, and then put Isaiah 43, 10 to 12, and then you have them read that for you. And then say, if you're really a Jehovah Witness, you would have to admit that Jesus Christ is God. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. You just said that you believe Jesus was the Savior. Now you see, you got him. Then once you get him pinned down, you know what you do? You give them your testimony of how you got saved and tell them they can be saved too, and ask them if they'd like to pray with you and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Put them on the spot right there. That's all. Get the Holy Spirit in them. Listen, you don't have to mess with these people for hours on end going around in circles with their circular reasoning. You're getting nowhere. You're going to prove to them that you're smarter than them, and that what's that going to accomplish? Nothing. God's Spirit has to do the revealing. God's Spirit has to do the ministering. So set them up enough to get them where they realize that maybe they just thought they knew the Bible, and then give them your testimony and allow God's Spirit to convict them that they need to be saved. See? Now, what you'll find sometimes is you're going to deal with Jehovah's Witnesses that are saved. Honestly, they're saved. They were in a Southern Baptist church somewhere, they got saved, never learned any Bible, all of a sudden somebody came along and started talking to them about the millennium and the Armageddon and all these kind of things, because the Jehovah's Witnesses are very big on that end of it, and start giving them some Bible. They've never been taught any Bible, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, wow, now I can really learn the Bible, and I'll go off with these people and get their magazines, and away you go. I'll be bringing some of that stuff for you next week. I've got a New World Translation. I've got some of their little books and their Watchtower publications and magazines. I'll let you take a look at some of those. How many of you have ever seen those before and know what I'm talking about? Kind of figure that. So we'll go ahead and get started here on our study on Jehovah's Witnesses this morning. Brother Gary, if you please ask the Lord to bless our study this morning. Amen. All right. Now, everybody has the handout, I hope, and I'm just going to basically follow this almost verbatim. And the reason I do this, listen, I could have just made one of these and keep it up here for me and talk to you. I want you to have the information in your hand and keep it somewhere with all this cult stuff. So you have the outlines, you have the information, you can go back over it, you can help out some other Christians, you may be able to help out somebody that's struggling with some of that stuff. I find a lot of times young Christians, they get saved and then the cults show up and try and mess them up, and you'll be there as God's instrument. Isn't it good to be used by God?
Yeah.
You'll have the opportunity to do that, right? So this is outside of Mormonism, the fastest growing cult in the United States. Between 1966 and 1985, their numbers grew from 1 million to 3 million members. That means in 20 years, they tripled in size, right? How did this thing come about? It started with Charles Taze Russell, who followed Nelson Barber, a Second Adventist from New York. What are those? People that just always talk about prophecy, the second advent of Christ, the Lord's coming back, get ready, the end is near, all that stuff. And listen, I'm all for prophecy. The Bible has a lot of prophecy in it, and you ought to teach it. But I know Christians, that's all they ever deal with. They go to all the prophecy conferences and all that stuff, and know they're all big and all that, but there's a lot more to your Bible than just that. Whenever you just get off into one thing, that's, you know, you're always susceptible for deception. And so that's what happened to this guy. Russell said that the time of the end began in 1799, and that in 1874, Jesus Christ had returned invisibly. Isn't that convenient? Now, you all see this $1 million in my hand, don't you? Who wants it? I can give you $1 million. Who wants it? Honest, I'll give it to you. Well, who wants the $1 million? Raise your hand. It's free. You can have it. It's $1 million. It's just invisible. You can't see it. All right. That's the logic. You understand? He came back invisibly. Prove it. Well, I can't. He came back invisibly. How convenient, huh? That's kind of how the whole thing started, see? And that the world would come to an end in 1914. In 1879, Russell was convinced these revelations were from God. So he was self-deluded, self-deceived. He sold his prosperous clothing business and began printing Zion's Watchtower and Herald of Christ's Presence, known today as the Watchtower. So you'll also hear the Jehovah's Witnesses many times referred to as the Watchtower Society. Initial printing of the Watchtower was 6,000. Now there are 288 million copies printed annually. Actually, these notes are a couple years old, so it's probably closer to about 300 million now. Russell wrote studies in the Scriptures, which he claimed to be essential for a right understanding of the Bible. How are you going to get the right understanding of the Bible? From Russell. The only possible way. He said that studying the Bible alone, without the help of his studies in the Scriptures, would lead only to spiritual darkness. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." It's not any man that's going to give you the light on the Scriptures that you need. It's God's Spirit through God's Word. Now, He'll use teachers. And that's part of the body of Christ that He has established, part of those gifts to the body of Christ that God has set up. But whenever you make it where there's only one man that you can get any truth from, you're in trouble. Oh, I'm sure. But see, he wasn't as much into it for the money. He was into it because he really believed it. Because he was really deceived himself. And because of that, he had that desire to tell others. Russell taught that the great pyramid. Now think about that, what we just talked about. He said that studying the Bible alone without the help of his studies. You ever see a preacher get up and say, "Now, in the original Greek, what this really means is..." You ever seen that? You know what he just told you? You can't understand the Bible without him. That's why we call it the Alexandrian cult. Using the old Alexandrian manuscripts to make people think that they can't learn the Bible aside from the Greek scholar. See? That's the danger in that stuff. It's the same spirit. Right? Trying to help you. Right. Yeah, there's 27 different Greek texts, I believe. Yeah. The first one. Well, see, that's the whole thing. If there is never a time when all the original manuscripts, you understand all the Pauline epistles, all the epistles Paul wrote, and that Peter wrote, and that John wrote, and the Gospels written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Revelation and Jude, and all those books, there was never a time where all the originals of those were ever put together into one book called the New Testament or the Bible. Same with the Old Testament. You never had a time when all the originals were in one book. You know what these people believe? They believe that if you really had a Bible, the only way you could have one is to have all the originals together in one book. Here's the problem. If you ever did have all the originals, how would you know they were the originals? You know what Jesus Christ said? He talked about the Scriptures. He said, "Thus saith the Lord." He said, "It is written." Was Jesus Christ quoting originals? He believed in preservation of Scripture. Are you a Christian? Are you following Jesus Christ? Then you ought to believe the same. It's not very difficult to figure out. What's that, sir? Yeah, how many of you speak Greek? Yeah, right, there'd only be one. Every other one would be a copy. How could you trust it? Do you understand the foolishness of that? It don't fly, see? Russell taught that the Great Pyramid in Egypt was designed and placed there by God. Well, he missed that one by a few words. Sons of. Was placed there by God as his second witness next to the Bible. See what happens? Whenever you have a final authority and then you add an authority, you no longer have a final authority. What have all the cults been doing we've seen so far? Is it just the Bible as your authority? No. They always want to add something else in there as a, quote, co-equal authority. But once you do that, you've ruined that final authority as being your final authority. Because now you can choose whichever one you want to go to at any time. See? That's the problem with the new versions of the Bible. This one says that, this one says that. You choose. See? You become God. That's the danger and all that. And what happened here is he took this thing with a great pyramid, which is a great structure, no doubt about it, and there are some things significant to it. I don't doubt that at all. But when you put that thing on the same level for authority as the Word of God, you're in trouble. See? And that's exactly what he did. God did never in any place in the Bible ever tell you that the Great Pyramid was there as a witness for him. You know what he did say there was a witness? You. You know what he did say was there as a witness? The Holy Spirit. You know what he did say was there as a witness? His words. You know what he did say there was a witness? His creation. Yeah, and he would at least let us know about it without having to use Charles Taze Russell to do it. Amen. 1 John 5:8 says there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Verse 9, we receive the witness of men. The witness of God is greater. What's the witness of God? For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. What? Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record. There's the Word. You got the Holy Spirit, you got the Word of God, you got the witness. That's all the witness you're going to get. You don't need some great pyramid. The Great Pyramid, according to Russell, was an instrument to reveal his great plan for the ages for mankind. The passages revealed 1914 as the end. They counted so many inches equals so many years, going down the King's Corridor and the Queen's Hall and all that stuff in the Great Pyramid, and they came up with that the date would be 1914, and then, boom, the end of the world comes. 1914 came. No end. So the date was pushed back to 1915. No end. Then to 1918. Russell died in 1916. A massive stone pyramid stands at his graveside. Now here's the problem. Just as with Mormonism, Joseph Smith started the thing, it would have never turned into a powerful cult if there wasn't somebody to pick it up from there and run with it. That's where Brigham Young came in. And the same thing happens here with the Jehovah Witnesses. You got another man that comes onto the scene. After Russell's death, Judge Joseph Franklin Rutherford became the new leader. Now, his motivation was not the same as we see of Russell's. Russell's motivation was more, he really believed it, see. Rutherford had a different motivation. Guess what that was? He proclaimed, millions now living will never die, and began the Millions Campaign. He predicted that 1925 would be the end. In 1929, the judge had a palatial mansion constructed in San Diego, California. Of course, it wasn't really for himself. I mean, he lived there, but it was for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, when they would be resurrected, he was going to give them the place. He was just kind of keeping the seat warm until they got there. He dedicated it to them so they and other Old Testament worthies would have a place to live when they were resurrected. During the winter, Rutherford lived in the mansion and spent his summers in Europe suffering for the cause of Christ. He owned 2 16-cylinder Cadillacs. Now, buddy, back in the early 1930s, that was something. He made Benny Hinn look poor. The watchtower flourished. Isn't that amazing? They keep saying the end's going to come, the end's going to come, and it doesn't come, and it doesn't come. They're proven wrong, they're proven wrong, they're proven wrong. Everybody still believes it. Sucker born every minute. The watchtower flourished. New books and pamphlets were sold door to door by faithful witnesses. The judge died in the mansion in 1942. And the society sold the mansion in 1948. So I guess Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob won't get to live in it after all. The Watchtower governing body is believed to be the authority through which God speaks. So what's the authority now? See that thing? It always comes down to, yea, hath God said. That's it. Because now you can have an additional authority to tell you what God really said. The watchtower claims for itself to be the faithful and wise servant. In Matthew 24:45, you'll find that term, where Jesus said, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over all his household, to give them their meat in due season?" So the Lord asked that question, and they turn around and say, "We are." It's the Jehovah Witnesses. We're the faithful and wise servant. Therefore, we are the only true religion. And that's what they believe and teach. They have written their own version of the Bible, the New World Translation. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look into some of that. To find support for their altered scriptures, they turn to a new translation based on the oldest manuscripts by Johannes Gruber. This New Testament has been used as an authority in many of their publications. Gruber was a spiritualist whose translation was completed under the guidance of spirit messengers with the aid of his wife, who was a self-possessed spirit medium. How many of you knew that? Okay, they forgot to mention that to you, didn't they? 2 Peter 1:21 says, "Prophecy came not at all time by will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Rutherford once said, "Accept truth wherever you find it, no matter what it contradicts." You mean the Bible? If it contradicts the Bible, is it truth? Isaiah 8:20 says, "To the law and the testimony, they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Jesus Christ said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Amen. You want truth? You already know where to find it. You've got the Word of God to find it. What is their doctrine on Jesus Christ? They say that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the first thing Jehovah created. Then through his other creative works were done. So he creates Jesus and then everything else. They are emphatic. The Bible does not teach that God and Jesus are the same. Once again, as every cult you'll find, when it comes to the mysteries revealed to the church, and this primary mystery of the deity of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the Trinity, they cannot see it. And we know that 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." They can't see that. You show them that verse till they're blue in the face, can't see it, unless they're saved. You're going to wait and see that thing, see? So, but we know there's plenty of scripture throughout the Bible that do teach that Jesus Christ is God. In the Hebrew scriptures, Jesus is referred to as Michael. So Michael the archangel and Jesus Christ are the same person. That's what the Jehovah Witnesses teach. Jesus Christ is a spirit creature, a super angel, the beginning of the creation of Jehovah God. Now you see the Revelation 3:14, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." They take that and say, see, that was God's first thing he created. No, the beginning of the creation of God means that God used Jesus Christ, the Word, to create. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How? The Spirit of God moved and God said. It's the Word of God. It was created. God created all things by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a created being himself. Hebrews 10:5 says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." See? Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, rose in a literal body. He's not a spirit being. He's a real visible being that can be seen. But if you had to try and teach that Jesus Christ came back invisibly, how else could you do it? Okay? There's the pig in the poke. There's the problem. So they say he started out as the Logo, the Word, then became Michael, the archangel, who then came to earth as the virgin-born son of Mary. He was a perfect sinless man, but he was only a man, void of all divinity. He became the Christ when he was baptized. That's what they teach. See? What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we before approved both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. It is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're to become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Real obvious right there. Look, the Jehovah's Witnesses are trying to say that Michael is Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ was just a spirit being. I want you to look over in 1 John with me, please. First John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So what are we said to do? We're not to believe every spirit, we're to try the spirits to see whether they are of God. How do we do that? Verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is a spiritual being, no. What does it say? Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ, what? Did come in the flesh? Is come in the flesh, is of God. See, is come, that covers past, present, future. You see? Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, showed the disciples his hands and his feet, said, Thomas, reach your hands in here and put your fingers in my holes, reach your hand in my side and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone as ye see me have. When we're resurrected to be with Christ, we're given a new body, but it's a body that has flesh and bone, just like his. See? It's not just this spiritual thing. That's a lie. And he told you right there, if you find somebody given that lie, you know it's not of God. Verse 3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Well, he wasn't Christ until he was baptized. So he didn't come in the flesh? As a baby when he was born, he wasn't Jesus Christ then? See? When he comes back, is he coming back in the flesh? When he left, did he leave in the flesh? See? They can't see that. That's the wrong spirit. See? And you need to mark that and be aware of that. All right. Continuing on. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses also hold the cross in contempt. You'll see any pictures that the Jehovah's Witnesses have of Jesus dying, they have him on a stake like this instead of on a cross like this. See? They said, well, that cross, that's just a pagan symbol. And Jesus didn't die on a cross, he just died on a pole. I mean, after all, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness and that was on a pole, wasn't it? So Jesus just died. That's the reasoning. Problem with that is it just doesn't fit the Bible at all. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 32 says, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him compelled they to bear his cross. Man, you can't get a concordance and start going through that Bible and not see that word cross showing up over and over and over and over again. No way around it at all. They told Jesus to come down from the cross. They said in verse 42, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Why do they think that cross is foolishness? They just answered their own question. But on those which are saved, it is the power of God. See? The cross is a place where two ways meet. It's the crossing point. It's the meeting point. That's why God chose the cross. He knew what he was doing. What does Philippians 3 say? Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk. So he says, for an example. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of what? The cross of Christ. You know what the Jehovah's Witnesses are? They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, whose end is destruction. What a self-fulfilling prophecy. What a testimony against themselves. The Bible will get you every time. Every time. They said that his body was disintegrated by God and fully destroyed forever. When Jesus rose up from the dead, he didn't rise up physically, it was just a spirit. And then after that, Jesus was recreated by the Father. Jesus then returned to heaven, where he again became Michael the Archangel. He will never again be seen on the earth in visible form. Is that what Jesus taught? He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. John 14:3. He said over there in Luke 24:36, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. He said over there in John 20:27, to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. See? Said over there in Acts 1:11, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Did they see him go? They sure did. Then will you see him come? You sure will. What's this thing about him coming invisibly? That's not Bible, see? And when he comes back, he's going to be the king over all the earth. Amen. And it says in Zechariah 12:10, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. How can you look on him if he's invisible? See, it don't work. It don't fit. They said that the Lord will destroy all but the faithful Jehovah Witnesses at Armageddon. Jesus, alias Michael, will always remain invisible to those on earth, but will be seen only by the faithful 144,000 Jehovah Witnesses who still rule with him from heaven. Now, that's where the Jehovah Witnesses get into this 144,000 thing, see? And that was started right at the beginning and just been carried on through. The problem was, is before you knew it, Jehovah Witnesses had over 144,000 members, which created some problems. And so the doctrine then was, is, well, many of the Jehovah Witnesses will be resurrected after Armageddon. And their paradise, their heaven, is on the earth. And that's all they get. That's the typical Jehovah Witness. Then there's the elect Jehovah Witnesses, the select few. They say right now there's about 6,000 of them alive on the earth. Now, if I was a Jehovah Witness, and I'm not, thank God, but if I was, I'd be telling everybody I was one of them. Wouldn't you? Then why don't they? Well, what you're going to find out is they got a lot of things that you're supposed to believe as a Jehovah Witness and practice. And if they know that you're not believing or practicing one of those things, it'll look bad for you. And so since they know that everybody knows that they don't really practice the Jehovah Witness doctrines that they're supposed to, they can't really claim to be one of the 144,000. Say, what are those things? I turn the page there on page 4. These are some things Jehovah Witnesses are forbidden to do. They are forbidden to vote. Now, I've talked to some Jehovah Witnesses, and I like that rule for them. Along with the next one, they are forbidden to hold elective offices. Thank God. They are forbidden to celebrate holidays. Now, you find Christians sometimes that get off into that. What spirit are you of? They are forbidden to be members of the YMCA or the YWCA. Why? Well, that was started out as the Young Men's Christian Association. You understand that? That's how the thing started. It started out as a Christian thing. You wouldn't know it now by going there. You know, and seeing the jazzercise classes and all the rest of the garbage. But it started out as a Christian organization, Young Men's Christian Association, Young Women's Christian Association. See, now, today, it's been perverted to the point where you got a bunch of flamers getting up there and singing, it's fun to stay at the YMCA. Homosexuals. Singing that song. You know why they're singing that song? And you got the average stupid American getting up. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. You nut. Don't you know what they're singing about? They're singing about it's fun to get there and get your boys. You dumb pervert. Good night, nurse. All right, I don't even know how we got on. I mean, just certain things, man. You're just like, good night. They're forbidden to salute the flag. That's all right. We're forbidden to salute the fag, so we've got something in common. They're forbidden to sing the national anthem. See, anything patriotic, pro-American, they're against it. They're forbidden to serve in the military. So as far as I'm concerned, move out and go to another country. You want everybody else to die for you so you can have your freedoms to be an idiot, go somewhere else and do it. Amen. They're forbidden to accept blood transfusions. Okay. Well, because the Bible says abstain from blood. Talking about drinking it. You know, so that's there you go. They are forbidden to be critical of the Watchtower. That magazine that comes out, if they see something in there that's like, wait a minute, right? No, you can't do that. You can't criticize what you're being taught, ever. See? They are forbidden to associate with former Jehovah's Witnesses. Why do you think that is? Sure, sure. They are forbidden to attend any church. They are forbidden for their children or anybody else to celebrate birthdays. They are forbidden to celebrate Christmas. They are forbidden to celebrate Easter. They are forbidden to participate in sports. They are forbidden to celebrate Mother's Day. See, that would get a lot of them in trouble right there. They are forbidden to celebrate Father's Day. They are forbidden to celebrate Thanksgiving. We already talked about salute the flag, didn't we? Yeah. They're forbidden to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and they're forbidden to play with other neighborhood children if their children aren't Jehovah's Witnesses. Along with that, just to mention, the mental illness rate among Jehovah's Witnesses is very high, above average. But see, if you can keep all those things, yeah, one of the requirements they didn't put on here. If you can keep all those things, then you can claim to be one of the elect 144,000. But you know how many of them keep all those things all the time? Of course not. So their doctrines, of course, the deity of Jesus Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus is a created God, little g. They do not teach that he's God manifest in the flesh. And we know in Isaiah 9:6 it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Lord Jesus Christ." See? Micah 5:2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old," from where? Everlasting. See? Jesus Christ is God. There's no doubt about it. What are you going to do with that verse? You can't. You can't do anything with it. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." He was born where? In Bethlehem of Judea. He was born. Who was born? Jesus. Not the Word. In the beginning was the Word. He was always the Word. He became the begotten Son of God as Jesus, the man. He is always now Jesus Christ, everlasting, but he was always the Word. See, that's his eternal name. John 1:1, of course, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." So, of course, you'll find that the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses perverts that verse to cover their tracks. And we'll get into that, Lord willing, more next week. Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus Christ is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus Christ is God. There's no doubt about it. In Colossians 2:9, "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So while Jehovah's Witnesses falsely teach that Jehovah created Jesus, the Bible teaches that Jesus is Jehovah in the flesh. Now, and there are some verses I've given you on that. Isaiah 44:6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Revelation 1:17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, behold, in my life forevermore, amen, I have the keys of hell and of death. Revelation 2:8 says, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Who is he that is the first and the last? See? Revelation 22:13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's Jesus Christ. You know what he is? He's God. He's God. All right. We'll go ahead and I'll mark that place right there. And we'll go ahead and close there for this morning. And pick it up, Lord willing, next week. Try and make it through the rest of this study, and then maybe take a look at a few of the passages there in the New World Translation, and I'll give you some warnings about that as well. All right, let's go ahead and we'll close in a word of prayer and take a 10-minute break or so before the message this morning. Brother Rusty, if you'd dismiss us in prayer, please.